Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We look forward to your calls, your questions, your comments in relationship to the issue of the day. We'll be talking about a very serious theological doctrinal issue today. What is the difference between the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus? What's the difference between the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus? Perhaps you say, that's simple. I've got the answer. Do you? We have major confusion today in so many theological doctrinal issues. Perhaps the greatest hindrance, I believe, to biblical Christianity today is the confusion, the conflict over the truth of the Word of God. Some of the fundamentals of truth of the Scripture are being challenged today and changed as never before. We're going to talk about that in this broadcast today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. The area code is 904, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. But let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, made the statement, profound statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17, 17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. So, ladies and gentlemen, I commend the truth book to you as we study the scripture, as we look at what is happening in the world around us. We view it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. May I say to you, truth is something that's not sought today. Very evident, by the way, not just in the political arena, but also in the theological, doctrinal, biblical arena. There's a lot of controversy, confusion, conflict, and challenges in relationship to the truth. If we study the scripture in context, if we look at a unit of thought in context, we can understand what God is saying. But the problem today, the difficulty today, is we find so many denominational dogmas that just pluck a verse out here and a verse out there and build a whole theological construct out of that, when in context, that's not what it's saying. We need to get back to the source book of truth, and that is the Word of God. Truth is not sought today. In fact, the secularist George Orwell made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place today. Those that despise the truth, reject the truth, and refuse to accept the truth. You see, according to the latest survey, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, those that are called the millennials, there's a mindset somehow, some way, that there's no fixed, absolute truth. In fact, the survey shows that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of the truth. Therein lies the problem. This is the reason today in theological circles, doctrinal circles, biblical circles, Christian circles today, there's a debate and denial of what the Bible says as being true. They want to bend it and change it to meet their own requirements. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's what we're doing today on this broadcast. Let's face the issues. We're defending the truth of the Word of God. May I say to you that if we look at every event that's taking place in the world, nationally, locally, globally, and we look at it through the prism of the Word of God, we can understand what's happening in our world today. And it's not good, that which we see so often. Let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions in relationship to the professionals, whether it's the homeowner brand, landscape, and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag flowing 165 feet in there. Oh, glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, and the telephone lines are open. We'd be delighted to entertain your questions, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the subject today. What's the difference between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have with me today Pastor Davis that hails up from Folkestone, Georgia.
Amen.
Delighted to have you with us today, Pastor Davis.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And I do want to give honor to God the Father, who's the head of my life, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a good fasting and praying Friday morning.
Amen. Amen.
I can just remember back during the day and time that we were coming up with the Old Testament saints. Every Friday was a fasting and praying Friday.
That's right.
And at the end of church service on Friday nights, we would get together and we would break bread like Jesus did and have us a good fish meal.
Yeah, fish.
Fried fish, amen, on Fridays, amen. So you can tell that I'm a Georgia boy, country
right.
boy.
Amen.
Amen on today. That's all we ever did, amen. And I thank God for that. I want to say good morning to my bride of now 37 years.
Just praise celebrated God, amen. 37. That's right.
Amen.
That's good.
Put up with me for 37 years. Thank
if
God. I love you.
If we'd stop long enough, you could catch up with us. My wife and I celebrated our 60th anniversary just about a year ago, and I'm thankful for that. But go ahead.
Amen. 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 And just happy anniversary.
Thank
amen.
You.
We do thank God, amen, for you as well, Dr. Youngblood. You and your family have been such a blessing to us.
Amen.
Amen. And we just continue, amen, to just enjoy fellowship. I believe God put us together for such a time as this.
Absolutely.
Amen. And we are here on today, amen, because, amen, God has a purpose and a plan for our lives on today. I want to say good morning to a special, amen, young lady on today, my granddaughter. Her birthday is today. Happy birthday, Nala. Happy sixth birthday. Amen.
6 years old.
6 years old. Amen. Now, thank God for that young lady. Amen. We're bringing her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
That's
amen.
What it should be,
this
yes.
is what God commanded us to do. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So I thank and praise God for that. And certainly we hope that everybody, amen, all the believers on today
mm-hmm.
will listen up to what we have to say. Because I believe the next very important event to happen, amen, in the history of the world and on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church.
That's
amen.
Exactly right.
So you have to get ready, stay ready, and be ready.
Get
amen.
Ready, stay ready, and be ready. It's a good admonition to our listeners today. Ladies and gentlemen, now listen, we're not talking about denomination today. We're not talking about Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. We're not talking about any denomination. Denominational dogmas generally get in the way of biblical doctrine and prevents the child of God from understanding what God's Word is saying. So I want to ask you today, during the course of this broadcast, put your denominational hat aside. Put your denominational dogma aside. And let's just talk about a biblical truth that I believe is important, imperative, that we all understand.
Amen.
Some of the fundamentals of the truth of the Scripture today, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, being challenged and changed, and generally the change is not good. Some believe that there's no such thing as a real devil. In fact, there's a national radio broadcaster that says at one time he believed in radio broadcaster, Christian radio broadcaster, that he said at one time in years gone by, he used to believe in the reality of a devil. He used to believe in the reality of hell, and he knows different. He's learned different now, he says. And he claims he was brought up in a Baptist church, and he supposedly answers Bible questions on a national level. There are a lot of things that he disbelieves today that he believed in yesteryear, according to what he says himself. But, ladies and gentlemen, some disbelieve in hell. Some disbelieve in a real devil. Others say the person cannot choose to be saved, cannot choose to invite Jesus Christ in their heart, because, you see, according to that belief system, man does not have free will. There's some that track the look at baptism and say that baptism washes away sins. Yet there's some that call preachers and pastors and radio experts, so forth, that's on the air, that reject the biblical doctrine of the rapture of the church. There's some today that say the rapture of the church is not real. I'm looking at an article that I have kept for several years. John Piper, Dr. John Piper, retired just a few years ago from Bethlehem Baptist Church. He was pastor there for about 33, 34 years. He's a hyper-Calvinist. And I'm not going to try to get into the debate about Calvinism. Of course, you'd like to call and ask a question to challenge our position. That's okay. We'd be delighted to talk about it. John Piper, Dr. Piper, had one of his members on one occasion had asked him a question, had written and asked him a question. Here's the dialogue between the two. Pastor John, I know there's a huge debate, but I would love your thoughts. How many times is Jesus coming back? Is he coming back in the rapture, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, and then returning a second time to defeat Satan, according to Revelation 19:11-21? Is Christ returning one more time or two more times? End quote. This is the preacher's answer. My understanding of the New Testament is that Jesus promised that he would return, and that in this returning, he would do a final rescue for those who are trusting him, and a final judgment for those who are not believing in him. Here's what he says. Listen, I do not think there are two comings of Christ in the future, only one, end quote. Now, that is a half truth and a half lie. It is simply not a whole truth. It is simply he's either bifurcating the truth purposely or he's trying to deceive. By the way, when it comes to the general Calvinist belief, of course, the old historian Will Durant of yesteryear said no such thing as a single doctrinal system for Calvinism. He said you could take 100 Calvinists and put them in a room and you've got 1,000 different understandings of what Calvinism means. It's like nailing jello to a wall, he said. And that's exactly right even today. But we're talking about a very serious subject. What's the difference between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, the rapture of the church and the second coming are often confused. One of the major reasons for the confusion is that there is controversy over the scripture verses referring to the rapture of the church. They interpret those verses as relates to the second coming. The argument is that if the rapture is true, then this would mean that the Jesus Christ will be returning two times. You see, here's the problem. Those that say that the rapture of the church is not real, they say, because Jesus Christ is coming back just one time. If you believe in the rapture, so the argument goes, if you believe in the rapture, that means you believe in Jesus coming back two times, twice, not just one time. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming back one time. But the rapture of the church does not contradict the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The study of the end time prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, is vital for every believer. We must realize the difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming, and every believer needs to understand the differentiation and the reality of each doctrine, the doctrine of the rapture, the doctrine of the second coming. Both are real, but listen very carefully, and we'll discuss it in detail today. Unless time runs out on us, we'll try to get to the bottom line of what we're wanting you to understand with asking the question, what is the difference between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps you have questions on that. Perhaps you've been taught that the rapture is not real. Perhaps you've been taught that Jesus Christ is coming back just one time, and so therefore we can discount the rapture because in that theological persuasion, the rapture means Jesus is returning, and the return means he's returning. What's the truth of the matter based on the authoritative word of the scriptures, the word of God, the state of the rapture of the church, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, we find there's a seven-year period of time. Chronologically, there's a seven-year period of time between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two events, two separate events. That seven-year period of time is called the tribulation. It's the time when God's wrath, the word wrath in the Greek text is the word thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, means his white hot anger will be poured out on all the world. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of little snippets, then we're going to start taking our callers. The rapture of the church is the bride of Christ. It is the bride of Christ that's being removed from this old world, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. We're going to read those texts in just a moment. The believer who is dead in Christ, their bodies one day will be resurrected along with every believer still living, will meet the Lord in the air, the scripture says. Now listen, the scripture in the rapture text does not say that Jesus Christ is going to come back to the earth, but he's going to call us up from the air.
Amen.
This will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, the scripture says. The second coming is when Jesus returns to the earth, just as described in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing? This same Jesus that you're seeing going up will in like manner come just as you've seen him go. And more fully, it's described in Zechariah 14, 1 through 4, where Jesus Christ returns to the Mount of Olives, and when his feet touch the Mount of Olives, the whole mountain claves, opens a great valley, that he follows that valley straight through, crossing the Kidron Valley, which is just outside the Eastern Gate, and Jesus Christ enters the Eastern Gate and is seated on his throne and rules and reigns. Now, that's two very important statements. That sets the stage for what we want to do in the broadcast today. We're going to look at the important differences between the rapture of the church and the return of Christ. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, and Bishop Davis?
Just Brother Davis. Praise God. Praise Brother God. Davis. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning to you, Brother Kenneth.
Yes, sir. You said your wife's birthday was today?
It's my granddaughter's.
Okay, all right.
What yes, my wife and I celebrated our 37th wedding anniversary on March 8th, which was about a week ago, and I had to take a short stint away from the broadcast, and I hope that I didn't leave Dr. Youngblood high and dry.
That's right.
But he always does a great job, even with me, without me, but I thank God for the opportunity to be back.
Yes, sir. But happy birthday to your granddaughter.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, at one time, I didn't believe in the rapture, but I know in the Word of God it says that it's going to happen.
Amen.
He's coming back. He's definitely coming back.
Yes, sir. He's coming back. I'm looking forward to today. That's the reason, by the way, we'll talk about it during the course of the broadcast. That's the reason the rapture of the church is referred to as being the imminent time that is an intimate factor that can happen at any moment. That means that the rapture of the church could happen before I finish this next sentence. The rapture of the church could take place before Sunday comes. The rapture of the church could take place before sundown today. It's the imminent happening. It is that which could happen at any moment. So I am thankful that you understand the rapture of the church is real. And by the way, the classic theological, doctrinal, biblical text on the rapture of the church is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, right page, right column, halfway down on my Bible. And it is the wonderful, wonderful text. We're going to look at that in a moment and start dissecting it and talk about that. And we'll use that as a comparison, contrast, to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kenneth, okay, thank you so much, brother, for your call.
Let me ask you one question.
All right.
But I think it's in Matthew 24. When he was saying about certain things going to happen before he returns.
Yes. Yeah. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is the classic text in all of the Bible. Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13. They're the eschatological prophetic text in the scripture talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those signs, S-I-G-N-S, the signs, it's the Greek word simeon, we'd call them roadmaps, just like you're about to cross the Buckman Bridge and it's ice on the bridge, there'll be the signs up that says ice on the bridge, drive carefully, curve in the road, et cetera, et cetera. Those are signs. We have signs, benchmarkers in the Bible that point out what's going to happen before Jesus Christ returns. As we'll say later in the broadcast, there are no signs for the rapture of the church. There are no signs, no roadmaps, benchmarks to take place before the rapture of the church. That's imminent. It could happen at any moment. But there are multitudes of signs. You find them in Matthew 24 that you mentioned. You find them in Luke chapter 21, and you find them in Mark chapter 13. Those are the synoptic gospels covering the eschatological prophetic text of the future. Those signs are still to be fulfilled for the second coming, but there are no signs to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church to take place. So it is time for us to, as Christians, to understand the Word of God, study the Word of God, hide the Word of God in our hearts so that we can defend the faith once delivered to the saints, the Scripture warns us and admonishes us to do. So, Kenneth, brother, keep studying the Word and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh.
I just want to ask one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
We got to get Sleepy Joe out of there because he's trying to destroy us. Trying to destroy America.
Cognitive depleted Joe, and I'm not laughing at Joe because he cannot help the fact that he is depleted cognitively, but they need to retire him, remove him, and I'm praying that we'll have a change of venue, if you will, for Joe very, very soon. The change of venue, meaning that he and Laughing Kamala will be put out to pasture, put out to retirement, or something, that they're not effectuating the damage, destruction, declension that's brought about in America as a result of their leadership. Of course, we understand that it's not Joe Biden. It's Barack Hussein Obama, his third term in office being played out through the puppet Joe Biden. That's what's happening. But I'm praying that God will intervene and change that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. God bless you. I believe I have Brother Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I'm listening intently, as I always do, and I'm gleaning lots of information. Wouldn't you say, we talk about the issues. Everybody that's alive and breathing faces basically the same issues, that the government appears to be mostly corrupt and is headed in the wrong direction. But the biggest issue that we all face, would you agree, is where are you going to spend eternity? And there's a few that's got that worked out. We've read scripture like Kenneth was talking about, and we're ready to go. But for all of those that don't know, what on earth can we tell them?
Tom, that's a very, very good question. In fact, I believe the greatest, if I can repeat that with redundancy, the greatest decision a human being can make in his life is not where to go to school, not what college to go to. It's not what job or profession to have. It's not what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in or what kind of clothing you wear. The greatest decision, the greatest choice a human being could ever make is to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And that doesn't take place by osmosis. A person being saved does not take place because you're a good person. A person being saved does not take place because you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or any other ism or schism. Salvation is the fact that God thought it, the Holy Spirit wrought it, Jesus Christ bought it. Salvation is a free gift for whosoever will. but it takes a volitional decision, contrary to many theological persuasions today that says that God's already chosen some to go to heaven, God's chosen some to go to hell, and you can't do anything about it. That is a demonic delusion in a doctrinal fashion that's being perpetrated in churches and denominations across America and around the world today. And it is a tool being used by Satan. But you're exactly right. A person needs to put to rest, am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? Now, there's some people that think that somehow, some way, that's the reason this doctrine of the rapture is so important. Some people have the misguided idea that the old video series of yesteryear, Left Behind, where it shows the kids in front of the TV plugging in an 8-track video, mom and dad's been snatched out in the rapture, and they need to then look at that video. The video tells them the rapture's taking place. They bow their heads, they pray, and invite Christ to come in, and they're saved. And then all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. The Gestapo's there with the chains to chain them and drag them to have the mark put on the hand of the head, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is not the biblical truth. That video, I believe, has caused more delusion, more deception, and more decreasing of the believing of the Word of God than anything I believe could have taken place. The Left Behind series is a good drama, but it is not biblical, theologically sound in its chronology of what happens. If a person has said no to Jesus Christ while in this life, if a person has heard the gospel and did not receive Christ, the Holy Spirit is wooing, and when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit's gone because the Holy Spirit resides in the heart of the believer. So when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world via the body of the believer, there's no Holy Spirit to do the wooing. And according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and following, they will believe the lie, and then they'll be sent a delusion that they cannot get saved. So it's important that those listening today make sure that you've got your eternal destiny already determined, because after the rapture takes place, it's too late, too late, too late. So may I say, just as you've said, that is the most important decision a person can make.
Dr. Youngblood, those words you just spoke could not be spoken any better. Nobody could add to that. And I thank you so much. I called a friend of mine. I hadn't talked to him about 10 years. He's in his early 80s, and I hit him with a cold water that, Ken, I know you're doing great right now, and you're rebuilding a lot of airplane motors, but where are you going to spend eternity? And you would have thought I threw cold water. And I said, you know, you're 82 years old. He said, well, I'm going to live forever. I said, no, you're not. You're going to meet a Christ that you either are good friends, you know him personally, or you don't. So, Dr. Youngblood, I thank you so much, because there's so many people that think somehow they're going to put it off, they're going to skate by, and just like you said in that video, mom and dad are gone, but they kind of they knew about him, about Jesus, but those kids know they don't know. It's just not that way, I don't think. I think it's the way you explained it. And I thank you so much, because that's been burning on my mind. But
thank you. Anybody that's listening
has now heard the truth.
Amen. Now the decision is left up to the individual. You're exactly right. And it is a volitional choice. It's not by osmosis. It's a volitional choice. Tom, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your input. By the way, thank you for the support of this broadcast ministry each and every day. And I challenge all of the listeners to do as you are doing, not only tune in, but underwrite the broadcast so that this broadcast can continue, not only to continue, but to be broadened in its basis of covering the truth of the Word of God. Tom, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. But we're going to take about a 1-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. We're going to be right back right at the break. We're talking about today, what's the difference between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Get your Bibles out. Be ready for the in-depth look at this question right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more,